Selections from The End of Alice, a Novel by A.M. Holmes, 1996. Mama pulls her blonde hair back, piles it high on her head, and pins it there, where it won't get wet. Strays trail down her neck. Her neck is damp, perspiration mixed with perfume, a sweet fruit, a strong liquor, the place you want to bury yourself to drink. I kiss her neck, and with my lips still pressed to her skin, inhale. Her neck seeps sweat. Teardrops, afraid to escape her eyes, sneak out the back, slipping down her spine, only to find her ass and be sucked back in. Slowly, she descends the steps into the water, her body round, truly a pear, a plum, and then some. The most beautiful woman, front and back, still the tomato queen. She sighs, sweeps her arms wide, and splashes. Heaven, she says. I slip out of my underwear, leave everything folded on the chair, and sit for a minute on the cot, naked, totally naked, so naked. Mama smiles. You know, this town is where I met your father, right here in this park, at a party for the strawberry festival. He towered like a tree. She's back. We will go home to our house, and summer will start again. In my memory, it is always summer. None of this will have ever happened. The bath will wash us, will clean us, erase everything, and we will begin again. I plunge in and swim to my mother. Your father loved it here. This was the one tub he could fit into. From the time he was 10 or 12, he was just too big. He loved baths. Liked to soak. She leaves the bath, pulls a bottle from her purse, and pours herself a glass. Bathtub gin, she says, carrying the glass back into the water. In the water, she turns pink. She turns red. She lies back, clutching the bar that goes the whole way around, and like a ballet dancer doing her exercises, she opens and closes her legs. She teases me, making waves. Did I ever show you what having you did to me? I shake my head. She shows me her breasts. I'm bagged out, she says, cupping them, holding them up, pointing them, aiming them at me like missiles. Bombs away, she says. You stretched me all out. Sorry, I say, horrified. Nothing to apologize for. It's my own damn fault. She reaches for the bottle she left by the side of the tub, refills her glass, and drinks quickly. Mama smiles and hugs me hard, looking down at my rise through the water. Go ahead, she says, holding my head in her hands, turning it so that my mouth is at her nipple. If it belongs to anyone, it belongs to you. She moves my head back and forth over it, the softest skin, not skin, but a strange fabric, a rare silk. My lips are sealed. She rubs her finger over my mouth. Open, she says, open. Open up. It's only me, it's your mama. Taste, just taste. Like butter, only it doesn't melt. A tender saucer that pulls tight under my tongue, ridges and goosebumps. She reaches for my hand. I try to pull away. No. Yes, she says, pulling harder on the arm, leading it toward a place between her legs. No, I say more desperately. My hand goes through a dark curtain, parting velvet drapes. My fingers slip between the lips of a secret mouth. My mother makes a sound, a guttural ah. I try to pull my hand out, but she pushes it back in, pushes it in, and then pulls it out, pushes and pulls, in and out, in out. It's your home, she says, one hand at the back of my neck, holding my head against her still, and the other on my hand, keeping me there, her leg wrapped around my leg. It's your home, she says again. You lived there, before you lived anywhere else. You're not afraid of going home, are you? It grows slick, greasy, with something wetter than water. My hand is inside my mother, in a place I never knew was there. Deeper, she takes three fingers and threads them into her. Perfume and juices, the cavern grows. She moves the hand in and out. My fingers are swallowed. She grabs my arm at the wrist. Fist, she says. Make a fist. Curl your paw. It doesn't go at first. Too large. Push, she says, and I do. Harder. My knuckles round the edge of the bone and pop in. My fist is inside her. My fist, like I'm angry. I turn it around. Screwdriver drill. I feel the walls. The meat she's made of. Dark and thick. My fist in it and almost out and then in again. Her fingers deep. Dig into my bicep. She's controlling me. Go, she says deeply, desperately. Go more. She's pushing and pulling. I'm rocking, fighting, buried in my mother. I'm boxing. Boxing mama, punching her out. Afraid my hand will come off. Afraid the contractions of her womb will amputate me at the wrist. My shoulder is stretching, nearly popping out, and I can't stop. That much is clear. Whatever I do, I can't stop. She's filled with fury and frustration, and there's no way of saying no. She keeps my mouth at her breast. Suck, she says. Bite it. It's yours. Harder and harder. Never enough. And then, with no warning, the teeth of this strange second mouth bite my hand. Her head goes back, and she bellows like I've killed her, and I cry out, too, because she's hurting me, and I don't know what's happening. I'm scared, and I want my hand back, and I want my mother back, and I want to be out of this place. It's over, as suddenly as it started. Mama holds me up a hand. Stop, she says. Stop, she whispers in my ear. It's enough. She puts her hand on my shoulder and tries to push me away, but my fist is still inside her. Suddenly, I am an intruder, a thief. I'm doing something wrong. It takes me a minute, more than a minute. I've gone deaf. I don't catch on right away. I keep pulling and pushing, boxing her insides, going the rounds, giving it my best. I'm doing my job, doing all I can. Stop, she says again loudly. The echo of the tile makes it sound like a shot. I stop. She reaches between her legs, plucks my hand out, and lets it drop like some discarded thing. I've failed. I turn full front toward her and begin to rub her, to poke at her with my skinny stub. She laughs and pushes me away. Now you're just all excited. All riled up. She laughs as though it's so funny. She gives me a kiss and climbs out of the tub, wrapping a towel around herself. She lies back on the cot, hand over her eyes, and sighs, breathes heavily, deeply. I'm staring, wondering what I've done wrong. Don't ogle, she says, without even looking at me. Swim some. Get your flippers wet. I am still so small a boy that for me, this tub is a pool. I take off, circling, turning laps and somersaults. I make myself relax. A knock at the door. Hours up. Shriveled, I climb out of the water. My mother wraps me in a towel and lets me sit on the edge of the cot, resting while she dresses. I suck water from the towel and try not to look while she loads herself back into her costume. Don't worry, she says. It's not to worry about. It's not you. It's not new. Mama is home. No, I say. Hello, sexual inverts. Happy Mother's Day. It's the menstruator. I hope every woman gets their period today. I don't have it. But I know I'm not knocked up because I never touch a dick. I was gonna do the show this morning, so that I wouldn't go to New Jersey and see my mom and come back and say horrid things about her, whilst in some sort of shell-shocked state. But, I mean, it is Mother's Day.
Motherfucker.
So I saw my mother. It was fine. I'm lying. I'm so lying. But, that's over. And that's good. I often like to load up on podcasts before I have to go on a long, unwanted, painful drive into New Jersey. And I download some stuff, and I listen to it on the drive. Maybe you do too. I don't know. Maybe you ask, menstruator, how many period dollars have you given out lately? Well, I'm happy to report that in my quest to do bad things to men, because, well, they behead us, I've given out 26 dirty dollars.
Bloody dollars.
And in addition, I have a new idea. You see, I'm often around male children, and I've seen male adults do this too, where they make girls hold things for them in their, purse, their bag, their vagina.
Pussy.
Whatever vessel you fancy. So to combat this, I've made a special area in my bag for them to put their iPods, cell phones, fax machines, machine guns.
Wow.
The only catch is that where I tell them now to keep their things in my bag, that's also now where I keep all my pads and my tampons. So I tried this out one day last week with a male child, and they asked, you know, the usual, will you hold something for me in your bag, because apparently it's too important for them to just put elsewhere. And I said, sure, but you're going to have to put it right here with my pads and tampons. And he wasn't about it, and that was one guy kicked off from that idea. And then the next day, all the kids that needed this service, all the boys, they went to the male adult that I work with and asked him to hold their stuff in his bag.
Take him back the night, motherfucker.
So I feel rather triumphant, and I never use those pads or tampons that are in that bag. Actually, they're kind of old and dusty. But someone is here with me, and you probably hear them. If you guessed it's Miss California giving me head under my desk while I do this podcast, you're wrong, maybe.
Miss C.O.
I have proud Mama Menzies here with me, and she doesn't say much, but she's a proud, bleeding maternal female. You'll respect her. Incidentally, she used to do backup entourage stuff for P. Diddy, but got tired of being called a bitch by a tiny man. Plus, she was the only female member of the entourage, so all the men thought they could rape her. She is brainwashed in reverse, a quadruple reversal triple of the double standard put forth by men, proud Mama Menzies.
P.M.M.
She's the strong, silent type, and I dig that. So, moving right along to something I've discussed on previous shows that I'm going to start doing, and I was just maybe waiting for the right time, but gender traitor of the month.
Feminist turncoat.
So, it's kind of a bit personal, but the menstruator was 86th from the After Ellen sheep follower website. Apparently my comments were too challenging. I'm not one of those lesbians, but give their hummers to their male best friends on the side, followers, that sees the name Ellen and drools uncontrollably. I'm not a social climber, so I guess I really have no need for the website that focuses on purely entertainment and smushy kitty stupidity after Ellen has no squalor, no substance.
Tell them like it is.
And in the tradition of Mother's Day, well, I guess Mother's Day in reverse, maybe, there's an individual on the website that I guess is the one that kicked me off. Her name is Sarah Warren, and, well, her mother should have had an abortion. She's a big blonde, and I'm sure all the men she works with just love that she's this big blonde, and they probably act as if they respect her, and she thinks they do anyway, but clearly that's not the case. The thing is with me and blondes, the more blonde hair that you have, the larger my dislike seems to run for you. Or maybe it's the more men brainwash you.
Miss California.
Congratulations to you after Ellen, you incestuous, backstabbing, small-minded group of ladies. I have more respect for the Amber character on the bowling video game for PS3 High Velocity Bowling. She's more of a revolutionary. She says things more interesting, and she's a video game character. So the first monthly gender trader, the After Ellen website, hooray for you, fucking gender traders. Go play nice with the straights now. I give Mother's Day greetings to all, to any female that has had an abortion, actually. As a potential mother, you probably did the right thing. I had an abortion yesterday and didn't even need one.
No babies.
Just kidding. Though I did have a strawberry bubble tea yesterday that sort of looked like an abortion. So, happy Mother's Day, again.
Motherfucker.
Happy Mother's Day to those that are childless, the more important non-moms who are busy making the world a better place for the little fuck trophies you breeders create.
You're goddamn right.
So, a list of those individuals, just briefly, would be Zora Neale Hurston.
Writer.
Condoleezza Rice.
Columnist.
Emily Dickinson.
Author.
Frida Kahlo.
Artiste.
Jane Austen.
English.
Dolly Parton.
Dollywood.
Virginia Woolf.
Orlando.
Susan B. Anthony.
Coy.
Janis Joplin.
Hot.
Angela Davis.
Politic.
Julia Child.
Chef.
Madeleine Albright.
First.
Diane Feinstein.
Senator.
Lorraine Hansberry.
Raisin.
Betty White.
Golden.
Anita Hill.
That judge will rot in hell.
Gabriella Mistral.
Poet.
Althea Gibson.
Tennis.
Valerie.
Scum.
Solanus. I can't say her last name, motherfucker. Donna Shalala.
Medal of Freedom.
And that's just to name a few of the non-moms who are really out there doing things that I guess women said they would do in the 90s. More women said they would do in the 90s, and the brainwashing finally set in, and they just, I don't know. There's a contingency of women who do have kids for whatever reason, and I may not forgive you, but I know things can get out of control in your lives because it's probably desperate sometimes, and I understand. So, more specifically, happy Mother's Day.
Motherfuckers.
To the women who went to college just to meet their husbands and wasted a college education to now changing diapers and chasing children beast around, and you're doing that only because your mother told you to.
Pity.
To the women I see picking their kids up with an iPod going in their ears and they don't even greet their child, let alone listen to them at all. To the women trapped who didn't discuss raising kids with their husbands before they started having them. To mothers who do it all alone, work, child rear, socialize, and find a babysitter even when their husband is home because he's so helpless he can't take care of the kids. To the women who have to find babysitters on their own birthdays.
Grandpa.
To the women brainwashed who thought that if they had kids, things would be different.
Brainwashed.
To the teenage girls so overlooked they want to birth a child just so someone will love them. To moms who feel self-conscious to breastfeed in public while men dance shirtless with hairy backs and fat-filled bellies. To the women who birth in a marriage to save their marriage. To the women mistreated daily simply because men fear what a woman can do alone.
Fear of female planet.
To the women freshly ripped apart by birth and was lied to and told everything would be fine. To the women that look at their kids and think that life could have been better without them. To all the women who look at their sons and finally realize, oh my God, I birthed a rapist. To the moms who starve themselves for days before a girl's weekend away only to look at their own girl children and tell them to eat their dinner.
And this equals greatness.
there a little bit. Ready? Okay. To the moms who are walking around starving, though they have food, and sleepless because of the nightly marital rapes, and then they are still expected to function daily.
Shame.
To potential lesbian mothers, waiting for the adoption company to call while you've withstood every test an agency can come up with, and a shitty straight couple gets a kid before you, and a 16-year-old girl walks out of the hospital with her infant alone.
Shut the fuck up, Marilyn Presnell.
Happy Mother's Day to that form of parental unit that is out there or couldn't handle it. All the women in the two villages in Papua New Guinea who were crusading the last 10 years, killing all male-born children to try to stop future war.
No male babies.
To, well, a certain role model of mine, Lorena Gallo, once known as Lorena Bobbitt. She's from Ecuador, and she was raped by her husband and also forced to get an abortion by her husband, the man that promised to love her and honor her. So she cut off his dick. It's been 15 years since that happened. And they recently were on a talk show together, and would you like to know what the rapist asked her?
Chop them all off.
No. He asked her if she would like to see the scar. So, Lorena Gallo has an organization to stop domestic violence, by the way. It's called a Lorena's Red Wagon. Look it up. More mothers. Marge Simpson.
Funny.
Mary Surratt.
Assassin.
Grace Metalius.
Peyton Place.
Catherine Howard.
I die a queen.
I say this word wrong all the time. The Mycosiparous Smithi ants, who are all mothers since they are the only species that does not have a male. They have no male gender of this ant that exists, and that makes me so jealous. I'm jealous of an ant.
Bison, female ants.
Ma Barker.
Public enemy.
Ira Ikuku Toguri Diakio.
Tokyo Rose.
All low-income criminal mothers.
PMM.
Yoko Ono.
Talent.
Emma Goldman.
Anarchist.
Happy Mother's Day.
Motherfuckers.
To single mothers.
Show 'em.
Yvette Yalico.
Sad.
Mary Beth Tining.
Sad.
Debbie Milk.
Death Row.
Marilyn Lamack.
Life.
Dolores Manzi. Susan Smith. Kathy Bush. Andrea Yates. And this is taking me into a new segment where the menstruator comes out of character. And I just like to say, so this is me now, not entirely different from the M, but listen up. If there's ever someone in your life and they ask for help, you help them. I'm not talking about giving money to a distant cousin. I'm talking about women. Women who need help, be it the crazy lady at the local liquor store or the whacked out mother that drives erratically and yells at her kids. People on the brink are just that, on the brink. Dolores Manzi asked for help. She asked for help in the courts out loud to a judge, and she was told to be a better mother. Andrea Yates asked for help. She asked for help from her husband and her church and was cast aside and further knocked up. It's not about paying anything for it, and it's not about you needing help and hopefully getting it because you gave it. It's about seeing someone with ovaries and knowing that every woman gets in a spot of desperation, not just because of her life, but because of men keeping her down. Her behavior outwardly is just the tip of the sexist iceberg that is in her life. Help any woman stranded on the side of the road, roll your fucking window down and see if you can call someone for her. Do you think she wants a man to help her? Do you know what that situation could entail? Would you feel safe like that? Help someone, even if they don't even realize they need help, by merely looking at them in the eye and asking them how their day was, by asking them the ever-popular British phrase, "You all right?" Help other women. Don't even ask why. That shouldn't even be your impulse when I say it. The saddest thing on this planet is when someone asks for help, and that's not easy to do. And when no one helps you, and you've asked for help, and then you blame the person that asked for help, it's an entirely sad thing that happens far too much to women. And it's very hard to be a woman. It's very hard to be a woman. So help other women. If you have to yell at them, do so. If you have to tit punch them, well, proud mama menses, I'm going to do it to you right now.
Tit punch?
Yeah. I'm going to tit punch you now. I appreciate your backup crooniness, but maybe next time we can work on some complete sentences, and so this will be a good example for you. Okay, so I just punched you in the tit, and I have a feeling you're going to do it back to me. It's an ancient, old form of woman-on-woman conduct. Okay, so just do it.
Tit is.
Fuck. Oh, see, no one called anyone here a bitch. We didn't try to steal each other's girlfriends. A tit punch will speak volumes. So, I'd like to leave you with this final thought, PMM. I used to work in a smallish town where kids were around all the time. This one kid was being a total tool, a male child. He was screaming and crying. An authoritative figure told that child to settle down. He totally straightened himself out of his tantrum and said to the woman, "You aren't my mother." And she turned to him and she said, "Every woman is a mother." Thanks again for listening to this retarded show, The Menstruator. I gotta go put ice on my tit. Happy Mother's Day.
Motherfuckers.
I just got punched in the fucking tit. Coming up soon on the show, I reach out to Canada and Australia. Gonna be a drunk show coming soon with Pussy Vagina and Fat Bloated Fake Morrissey from the future.
Fat Maza.
Also, I'm going to do a lesbian fitness show with Pussy Vagina. And I'd like to thank proud Mama Menzies for being here. And maybe we can go play some Yahtzee. Selections from We Need to Talk About Kevin by Lionel Shriver, 2003. Since I last wrote, I've been rooting around in my mental attic for my original reservations about motherhood. I do recall the fears, though all the wrong ones. Had I cataloged the downsides of parenthood, son might turn out killer, would never have turned up on the list. Rather, it might have looked something like this. Hassle, number one. Two, less time just for the two of us. Try no time for the two of us. Three, other people. PTA meetings, ballet teachers, the kids' insufferable friends and their insufferable parents. Four, turning into a cow. I was slight and preferred to stay that way. My sister-in-law had developed bulging varicose veins in her legs during pregnancy that never retreated, and the prospect of calves branched in blue tree roots mortified me more than I could say, so I didn't say, "I am vain," or "once was." More than that, I could say, "I am vain," or "once was," and one of my vanities was to feign that I was not. Five, unnatural altruism, being forced to make decisions in accordance with what was best for someone else. I'm a pig. 6. Curtailment of my traveling. Note curtailment, not conclusion. 7. Dementing boredom. I found small children brutally dull. I did, even at the onset, admit this to myself. Number 8. Worthless social life. I had never had a decent conversation with a friend's 5-year-old in the room. 9. Social demotion. I was a respected entrepreneur. Once I had a toddler in tow, every man I knew, every woman too, which is depressing, would take me less seriously. Number 10, paying the piper. Parenthood repays a debt, but who wants to pay a debt she can escape? Apparently, the childless get away with something sneaky. Besides, what good is repaying a debt to the wrong party? Only the most warped mother could feel rewarded for her trouble by the fact that at last her daughter's life is hideous, too. You see, I proceeded. By the time he was 11 or 12, this was all too late. The no gun rules, the computer codes. Children live in the same world we do. To kid ourselves that we can shelter them from it isn't just naive, it's vanity. We want to be able to tell ourselves what good parents we are, that we're doing our best. If I had it all to do over again, I'd have let Kevin play with whatever he wanted. He liked little enough. And I'd have ditched the TV rules, the G-rated videos. They only make us look foolish. They underscore our powerlessness, and they provoke his contempt. No hog slop, was all I could get out of him, I said. But Kevin's never been interested in food. When he was little, I was afraid he would starve until I figured out that he would eat as long as I wasn't watching. He didn't like to be seen needing it, as if hunger were a sign of weakness. So I'd leave a sandwich where he was sure to find it and walk away. It was like feeding a dog. From around the corner, I'd see him cram it in his mouth in 2 or 3 bites, looking around, making sure nobody saw. He caught me peeking once and spat it out. He took the half-chewed bread and cheddar and mashed it onto the plate glass door. It stuck. I left it there for the longest time. I'm not sure why.